How's everybody doing? Good. Yes, you're awake. I heard at least one voice. And I see Amina in the back, and it's usually Amina who actually talks to me. So the rest of you, I'm pretty sure you're usually awake. Never quite sure, but... So this is the moment where Pastor Ryan admits that he totally forgot his Bible this morning. And so he's going to have to read from the screens like the rest of you. But I want to start this morning by praying for moms. We've got a couple of moms in the congregation. There's more moms in the other services. And it's Mother's Day, and so we need to pray for them and rise up and call them blessed. So bow your heads with me and let's pray for moms. Father, we delight in the fact that you have given us mothers. Amazing women of God to look after us and to care for us, to love us and to comfort us, to teach us your ways. Lord, today we honor those amazing women, Lord. Lord, I think of my own mom and I think of the struggles and the years that she put in raising us, me and my brothers, and the heart and the love. And I can't help but say that I was blessed from my birth by her. Lord, may our mothers know that this day, that we are blessed by them. And that you especially have a heart for them and you bless them. So today, Lord, we pray a special blessing on them. Lord, be with them as they raise their kids, as they do what moms do, and as moms often do, as they do it in silence. Be with them. Let them know that they are special to your heart. Ooh, Father, we pray that in your name. Amen. Good. Well, happy Mother's Day for those of you who are moms. Those of you who aren't moms, buy your mom some flowers and a card, okay? I meet people who are like, oh, my mom doesn't want anything for Mother's Day. Lies. I don't care if she told you that. She lies. Get your mom a card. Get her some flowers. Let her know she's loved. Okay? She might say that. She doesn't mean it. But, you know, I was thinking about what are we going to do for a Mother's Day sermon this year? I wanted to do something. I started reflecting and praying. I was thinking through. I thought, you know, often when we talk about God, we always talk about the father love of God. You know, we talk about God as a father who loves us, who welcomes us home. We talk about the story of the prodigal son. We talk about other places in Scripture where God talks as a father. And yet we never talk about the places where the opposite happens. We never talk about the places where God talks about himself loving us like a mom. But the truth is, a lot of Scripture and a lot of time is spent describing God more as a mother figure and less as a father sometimes. Especially when it comes to his love. See, mom's love is kind of special, isn't it? You know, you run to dad when you want to play and you want to arm wrestle and you want to do those things, right? At least I did and my brothers did. I still have fond memories of being in the front yard with my dad after a snowstorm when we were little and all three of us rushing him and him tossing us around into the snowbanks and, you know, wrestling with him and playing with him. But when you're hurt, who do you run to? You run to mom to put the Band-Aid on, to comfort you and kiss you and make it better. When you're sick, who do you want to look after you? You want mom to be there, to give you soup, to take your temperature, to hold your hand. When kids are mean in school and you go home crying, you want mom to be there to give you a hug, to tell you it's going to be better, to embrace you with that love. And yet, even at 35 years old, I can tell you that when I've had a bad day, and as much as I love Joy, my wife, there are times when I go home after a bad day and all I want to do is sit and talk to my mom and know that I'm loved and know that she cares for me. There's something special about that love of a mother. It's comforting. It's embracing. You know it will be there through the ages. No matter what you do, no matter what you break, no matter how stupid you tell her you are, she is when you're 14, mom's love will be there for you. Moms have that heart. They pick us up. They mind us. They forgive us when we break their house and their stuff. They feed us, they clothe us, they look after us. And they do that from the time we're born until the time that they're no longer with us. And yeah, occasionally they fight for us. Now, I know for most of you, when you think about fighting and someone who fights for you, you might think about your dad. You know, and you might think, oh, my dad is the one who does the fighting, who gets angry. I was 35 years old and having lived life a little bit, let me tell you right now, you never want to poke the mama grizzly, okay? Dad might get there first, but when mom gets mad on your behalf, that's when you got to be worried. I still remember early in life, when I was in high school, my mom had written a note to my gym teacher saying that I'd hurt my leg and I couldn't run. And my gym teacher decided that this wasn't true. And so he called my mom a liar in front of my whole class. This was not a smart move. Now, my mom, and you'd have to meet my mom to understand this, my mom is the quietest woman you've ever met. She's shy. She's reserved. She has a temperament that does not get angry with people. My dad was a bit of a powder keg. He could blow up. He would get mad. He would yell. My mom was the person that you could yell and scream at her for 45 minutes, and she'd just sit there at the end of that and be like, well, I'm sorry, that's how you feel. But this, I went home and told her the teacher had said she'd lied. Oh, she wasn't taking that. And this is the only time in my life I have seen this. My mother marched down to the school, marched into the gym, got in this teacher's face with her finger out, and started reading him the riot act that how dare she say she lied, and how dare he think he knew better than her how to raise her children, and he was going to apologize immediately, or she was going to the principal, and he would not be teaching anymore. I have never seen my mother in my life do this, but I knew in that moment that I feared my mom more than I ever feared my dad. Dad might get mad for a minute. When mom was mad, you knew you were in trouble. There's a reason we say don't poke the mama bear. The thing is, when we look at Scripture, the Bible consistently talks of God loving us the way our mothers do. I pulled up two passages that I wanted to look at today that talk about this. The first is in Isaiah chapter 66, 12 to 14. So if you've got Bibles or you want to get in the seat in front of you or you've got your phones, flick them open. We'll take a look at these passages together. This is what the Lord says in Isaiah. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her. He's talking about the people in the city of Jerusalem. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. You shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knee. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. God in Isaiah has just laid out this massive prophecy that because the people have turned from him, they will be forced into exile. Horrible things will happen to them. Their nation will be laid waste. Jerusalem will be devastated. And then he turns around and says, and yet, like your mother, I will be there to comfort you. Even though this is happening, and even though it needs to happen for you to understand who you are, I'll be there for you. I'll comfort you. And he doesn't say, I'll comfort you like a dad. No. I'll comfort you like a mother. And he draws that image that we're all so familiar with of a mother carrying her child on her hip, embracing her baby and carrying it with her. He says, this is how much I love you, that I will carry you like my child, and I will comfort you. You know, I've had a lot of friends have babies in recent years. And so I've become pretty familiar with the routine. And just in April, you're going to become familiar with the routine in a few months of what you do when the baby's upset at night. You know, it's not uncommon for me to walk over to a friend's house and sit with them and to have them pacing the room with a child. were to talk to them and be like, yeah, we spent yesterday night in the car driving around in circles trying to calm the baby. There's something about touch. There's something about carrying a child, about moving with them that is comforting. Here God says, I want to provide that for you. I want to be like a mother to you. See a God who wants to bind up the wounds of his people, to care for them and love for them, and comfort them as they wait to return, as they learn their lesson. The other passage we have comes from Luke chapter 13. It's verse 34, and it's one you might be familiar with. It's a statement Jesus makes in his last days. He's about to head down into the city of Jerusalem for the last time, for the Last Supper and the Passover. As he stands on the hills overlooking Jerusalem, he utters this statement. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered you, your children, together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Again, draws this image of a mother figure. And no, most of us aren't farm people. Most of us haven't been out in the country to a large portion, but if you ever have, you'll know that when trouble comes, a mother hen will gather together her chicks, and she will wrap them under her arms to bring them in close to herself, and literally to protect them with her own body from what's ever attacking them. She will offer herself up to save the lives of her chicks. God says, I love you that way. I have desired you that much so often that you would be a people who would let me gather you to myself. Despite how you've treated my prophets, despite how you've treated everyone I've sent to you, I have so often longed to do this like a mother would for you. I want to love you like a mother. His heart has always been to do that, to gather them up in his arms and care for them. And he wants it so bad that as he heads down into the city, he knows that he will offer his life to make it possible. So yes, just as often as the Bible tells us that God is our Father, and he has those father attributes of being a protector, of watching over us, of being a patriarch, it also tells us God is our mother. He loves us that way. He pursues us that way. In fact, in many cases, God's love, when it's repeated to us from Proverbs, from Psalms, from Isaiah, from Luke, sounds a lot more like a mom's love than a dad's. It's the love of the comforter, the love of one who binds up your wounds and cares for you, the love of one who wants to carry you and be with you. Now, this is a misconception that gets made a lot in Scripture. The Scripture writers were males, and they lived in a patriarchal society. So they focused on that nature of God as a father, on those male attributes of God, and yet they also recognized the female. And as we've preached Scripture, we've picked up that bias occasionally. Most preachers have been male, so we pick up those male things. But we don't often talk about those female attributes of God. We avoid these passages that talk about God loving us like a mother. We avoid those passages that talk about God pursuing us as the bridegroom because they make us uncomfortable to think we're the lady in this situation, the one being pursued, not the pursuer. We avoid those passages where God talks about his love for us in ways that we have trouble with. But the truth is, all of that is there in Scripture. If you want the theological speak on it, we always say that God is spirit. He's not male, he's not female, he's God. In Genesis, we're told that both halves of human creation, the male and the female, represent who God is. They are both the image of God together. It's only when they're together that you get the full picture. Today I wanted to talk about that love of God as a mother. So yeah, just as often. In fact, as I said, God's love often is described more in the way of a mother's love. In fact, I was looking at the Lord's Prayer, and I was like, you know, the way it describes God is a little bit more like our mom sometimes. You know, we often talk about it as describing God as a father. But if you look at it, look at what it says. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then it asks for things. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, yeah, your father would have been the one in the ancient Near East who purchased the bread. But who would have made the meal that went with it? Who would have taken the raw ingredients and cooked them into loaves and made sure that the family was fed? Well, that would have been mom's job. And so, yeah, it would have been mom who was doling out the daily bread from the raw ingredients. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You know, moms are the queens of forgiveness. I learned most of what I know about God's forgiveness from watching my mom. You know, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I always knew that if I did something wrong or bad, or I'd broken something or something had happened, you definitely wanted to tell mom about it before dad found out. See, because mom would forgive you. Dad, maybe not so much. You know, dad would punish. Mom would be like, oh, that's okay. Are you all right? Like, that was a bad thing. You always knew you wanted to get to mom first because she would forgive. I still remember that as a kid. That when bad things happened, and growing up with two brothers, bad things happened. Three boys in a house equaled broken bones, and wounds, and broken stuff, and holes in walls. And one of the more infamous measures of our childhood, it once involved a belt buckle buried in somebody's forehead. You always wanted to find mom, not dad. Because mom was likely to forgive you and deal with the situation before she got around to punishing anyone. And the same way here, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. A mother's heart for forgiveness. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I don't know about your families when you went on vacation, but maybe I'll just ask, who drove the car when you guys were on vacation? If you were in the car? Mom drove the car?
Yes.
Wow. Good to know. See, in my family, and I think maybe in most of your families, maybe I'm wrong about this, my dad drove the car. My dad, you know, he was, I'm the man, I'm going to drive the car. But, curious thing is, I was thinking about this, I'm like, well, dad leads. And I'm like, no, dad drove. Mom was in the passenger seat, navigating. Because otherwise, we would have been going about five blocks from our house before we were, you know, somewhere we didn't want to be. In fact, I remember one of the more, again, infamous moments of my childhood. We were visiting San Francisco, and unlike a lot of families, we'd driven down instead of flying down, because my parents were like, well, if we drive down, we'll get to see the countryside, and we can stop along the way, and it'll be really nice, and we'll camp. And so we'd driven down to San Francisco. As we were driving through the town of San Francisco, my mom fell asleep and let my dad start navigating for himself. And she woke up about 10 minutes later. She looked out the window, and we were all awake still. She looked out the window. It took me a minute to realize what she'd done, but she very calmly reached down and pressed the button that locked all the doors. And then she very calmly leaned over to my father and said, I don't know where you think you're taking us, but I don't think this is the good part of town. And as you looked out the windows, you began to realize there were cars up on blocks. There were people staring at us. This was not a smart place for us to be. Moms navigate. So yeah, dad might drive the car, but mom is the one who's leading occasionally. Even in the Old Testament, you find this. God is as much a mother figure as he is a father. And in his love, maybe more so. Now, moms, that gives you an amazing place in the lives of your kids. You get to model for them the love of Christ, the love of God for his children. From you, they will learn what agape love truly is, what it means to have sacrificial love. Now, they may not understand it when they're children. I was well into my 20s and my 30s before I understood what that had meant. And now I can't think about it sometimes without crying a little bit. You know, I didn't come from a well-to-do family. We weren't rich by any stretch of the imagination. And yet we never went without. If the other kids had fancy sneakers, we had them. If they had fancy jeans, we had them. You know, it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I realized that as much as I had fancy sneakers, my parents often went years with the same shoes so that we could have them. That as much as we had, they would go without for their kids. That I realized that they had struggled and endured for our sake, just like God. They will learn from you, moms, that agape love, that selfless love that gives of itself. They'll get their first glimpse of the divine when they look up into your eyes. And know that mommy will always be there for them, through thick and thin, through good and bad, through whatever comes, mom's got them. Now, dads, you've got a role too, don't get me wrong. And don't worry, we've got your own special day to talk about that, and we will. But today was a day where we get to talk about moms. We get to recognize that they are essential in our lives, in our faith, in who we are. And that, yes, they play a role in helping us understand who God is. Now, one of the reasons this Mother's Day sermon was tricky for me is most of you here aren't moms yet. You know, we've got a few. I tried to count yesterday. I came up with about 4 or 5 people off the top of my head. I was like, well, Auntie Maria and Amina and April, you're on the list. And so I counted and I was like, maybe 4, maybe 5 moms total. But we all have moms. And yeah, and I also counted, you know, a few more of you that might be working on it, but we won't dwell on that point today. But, you know, I know there's a few of you working on whether or not you're going to be a mom in the near future. But I wanted to point out to you and tell you how blessed you are to have had that model of love, forgiveness, comfort in your life. Now, that doesn't mean if your mom was not good that God is not good, by the way. If you had a horrible mother who abused you or who treated you ill, that's not on God. That's your mother's fallen nature coming to the surface, and I'm sorry for that. It's not who God is, though. But for most of us, our moms were these amazing examples of what God loves like, of who God is. And so today, my encouragement was that I want you to go home after the service. And I want you to hug your mom, if she's physically available to hug. If not, phone mom and tell her that you love her. Remember, tell her all that she is. That she is the source of security and love in your life. That she taught you all of that. And remember that she's a little bit closer to God than maybe you are. Because she knows what it's like to love like he's loved the church. If anybody can understand the act of Jesus, the act of offering themselves up for others even though they don't want it, it's probably a mom. It's probably a woman who's raised children and who would give anything for them. And that draws moms really close into the heart of God. And for the rest of us, it draws us into him to understand that love through them. Let's pray. Father God, we come recognizing that you love us like our moms love us, Lord. With amazing power, amazing compassion and forgiveness. That tenderness that draws us to you, that desire to comfort us, to have us close, to care for us, to bind up our wounds and provide for us and just look after us. Lord, thank you for that. You are an amazing God. And Lord, thank you for the mothers you've given us who give us the ability to understand who you are, what you've meant in our lives, and help us to draw close to you through beginning to maybe glimpse just a little bit that love of Christ. We pray that in your strong name. Amen.